Weekday mornings on Moore in the Morning.
On round one today, Jerry Agar is here from The Jerry Agar Show. Amanda Galbraith from Navigator Communications, formerly with the mayor's office. Dave Trafford is the host of Weekend Mornings on News Talk 1010. Christy Blatchford is here from the National Post. Happy Friday, everybody.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Clearly, since you're all here, you're not out shopping for discount items. But Amanda Galbraith, are you planning on looking for deep discounts today or online?
No. I mean, online maybe, but like honestly, the ridiculousness of this holiday, like this Black Friday, like people wait in line for 4 hours for a TV to get like $100 off. Like, no, thank you very much.
That's $25 an hour.
You know, I will say, yeah, not enough for me. Trust me.
Oh, well, congratulations.
All right. Does anybody buy, I mean, I get it. They may say at Best Buy, for example, this such and such a TV for this price, and it's like half of what you'd expect. But I figure general merchandise is going to be discounted from here to Christmas because they need to move it out the door. There's no such thing as Boxing Day anymore.
And I agree. Like, I was there shopping yesterday. It was like 40% off Black Friday. I'm like, it's Thursday. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, well, they've been talking about it all week, right?
Yeah, no,
you're right. Exactly.
Okay. St. Mike's, the principal and the president have resigned. I'll throw it open question, whoever wants to go after it. I know, Amanda, you have some thoughts about whether or not they're getting good advice because your company is not advising them right now.
So I would suggest you can tell. Listen, I think we actually discussed this earlier this week, you and I, John.
Zing!
Yeah. and, you know, the fact that the principal was still staying on, and I'm like, that man is not long for this world. And I think you agreed, and we saw that he's resigned today. And this is unfortunate, right? You need to move this stuff quickly and deal with it as efficiently as possible. And I think they're dragging this story out in an unnecessary manner.
Christy, do you suspect there's some schadenfreude here because it's a private school, because it's an elite school, because it's a Catholic school, because it's a school that, let's face it, engenders a certain attitude in its students?
I don't know. I was surprised, mostly because 24 hours earlier, the board of directors had issued a brief statement, but very strongly supportive of the two guys who have resigned.
Yeah, that's so, like a flare from the Titanic, though.
I guess so, but I'm, you know, there's a certain part of me, despite my great advanced years, that is kind of naive and takes such things seriously. I mean, if they didn't want the principal and the president of the school to stay, why didn't they fire them, as it were, you know? So I'm a bit bewildered, to be honest. Was it because some alumni, the big donors, weren't happy? Was it because these guys were proving a distraction? I don't know.
Well, they probably support you until they don't. Like, in other words...
And with all their hearts, too.
Yeah, when they're asked and they're not ready to say, we're trying to get these guys to leave, then they'll just say they support. Doesn't that make sense?
Well, you don't issue a statement, though. The board had been really essentially silent until they issued, of their own sort of volition, at 5 o'clock on a... What day is it? Wednesday, I guess. This statement. So, fine, if you're even... Are you telling me they didn't have an idea that this was going to happen? So why would they do that?
Well, the chair of the board was at the alumni meeting the other night, Mike Forsyth, and he was the one who penned the first statement. And then, he was all suggesting how courageous Greg Reeves and Jeff Thompson were when they stepped out. I would agree with him. I think they're courageous in as much as they've done the right thing and moved on. To Amanda's point, it's probably about a week and a half too late.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to get too far down in the weeds in this because I'm one of the guys from the community, but there were all kinds of, as many questions around what is the board's role here and what is Mike Forsyth's role in all of this, as much as Jeff and Greg's role. And the oversight, all of a sudden now, to Christy's point, huge question. What was the oversight and what's going on in terms of who's being held accountable?
You can see this remarkable and hilarious video on our Instagram feed and our Facebook page, but it's surveillance camera footage from a jewelry shop in Mississauga. Some hooligans smash the window with a hammer and start climbing in when the guys who were inside the store charge toward them with swords. Jerry, it's very satisfying to watch. I don't know if we want to encourage this sort of thing. The police are saying now, but it's hilarious.
Well, why would they say now? People have a right to defend
themselves. Well, because the guys had a gun.
Themselves and their property. Well, sadly, the shop didn't have a gun, so they had to defer to their swords.
Well, the shop didn't need a gun, clearly.
No, the swords were working.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe they're those guys who can actually... I've seen this in the movies where they stop the bullets with the sword.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe they're that good. But why did they have to smash the window? Is it one of those places where you got to get buzzed in?
I don't know, but it takes them so long to smash the windows. I mean, the guys run to the back of the store, pull the swords out from wherever they were keeping them, and charge back. And the guys are still like, wait a minute,
and
I'm
getting
this.
And the one guy falls. That's the other thing in the video. Like, God bless them with their swords. But literally, one dude charges forward and just, like, falls flat on his butt. And I'm just like, that's got to be the... You're all like, we're with swords. And then he just goes down. Like, that's got to be embarrassing.
That's real life. That's how. That's what would happen to me if I had a sword and I was defending my place, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we should encourage this. I find it amusing. I also find it hilarious.
Why shouldn't we encourage people to defend themselves and their property?
Because I'm not going to die over a necklace. And, like, that is a risk if someone has a gun. So, I'm like, truthfully, it's like, take the necklace, I'd rather live. That would be my
You
position.
Can't have the necklace, here's the sword.
For the last few decades, it's been custom that if a leader is running for a seat in Parliament, you don't run any of your party's candidates against them. The Liberals are going to run a candidate against Jagmeet Singh, and it looks like Jagmeet might lose. Is this rather obnoxious behavior, Dave Trafford, or is it just politics as usual?
I think it's a little bit of both. And in this case, I heard Scott talking about the race itself. You know, Jagmeet Singh has been sort of so below the radar just generally that he's got a problem, with how this is all played out. But I don't, I think this is the new nature of politics in terms of roll up the sleeves.
Play to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but maybe this whole idea of we defer to their leader and let them have the seat thing is because you figure that the leader is probably going to win. This time they see blood in the water and they say, why should we just give up that seat to him?
Yep.
He's not going to win anymore. He got paid more attention to when he was one of your panelists, John, than he does now as the leader of the NDP.
And we haven't had a peep out of him since.
That's what I mean.
He's welcome in this studio anytime, but he hasn't shown up.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with this, truthfully, and I say this as a partisan conservative, but I get it. Like, frankly, they haven't done a great job. If they can keep their foot on the throat of the NDP leader, I would do the exact same thing if I was Liberals. So, good for them.
Christy, I know they say you can't put a price on a life, but it's something actuaries do all the time. A committee reported back late yesterday that the $15.2 million that was donated to a GoFundMe campaign for the boys of the Humboldt Broncos will be divvied up, $525,000 for each of the 16 families who lost a loved one in the crash, $475,000 for each of the 13 surviving players. I mean, I think one thing that stands out, Christy, is I think of the two paralyzed boys, they're going to need a lot of money for the rest of their lives. I'm not sure why the survivors are paid less than the families of the dead.
Yeah, look, I'm just grateful. I was happy to give to the fund. I just don't want any part of deciding how to give the money away yet. It's kind of a no-win thing, because you're right. People are going to have questions. The boys who are, going to be in wheelchairs are going to need a lot more support for a lot longer probably than others. So I ain't going there.
I'm one of the people who donated as well, and when you donate to something like that inevitably there will be some people who aren't happy with the distribution of the money, and I'm taking kind of the position that Christy does, and that is overall much more good will be done from the fact that the money is there than if it wasn't. So I step back and say, do what you think is best.
Yeah, Dave Trafford, it's always going to be unseemly to talk money and death, but in the wake of 9/11, for example, they had to sort through the files of 3,000 people and put a different price on every single one of them.
It's different here, though, now, because the whole culture around this GoFundMe campaigns has sort of cropped up in the last 3 or 4 years. We never really had that. I mean, there would be a local kind of donation, maybe, if you had to, deal with a tragedy like this. But there was never the wind beneath their wings to kind of make it national or international. And so I think that's one part of it. So I think Jerry's right. You kind of stand back and let the local figure it out. The other side of this is, the lawyers who are involved in these cases are going to look at this and say, there will not be insurance money for these kids, because one of two things. The trucking company will not have the wherewithal to support that. And if you wanted to go after the municipality, you're going to cripple the municipality. So it's not going to help anybody. So the real question moving forward is, how are these kids going to, and how are their families really going to get the support that they do need beyond this money?
Donald Trump was asked yesterday, it being Thanksgiving in the States, what are you thankful for? Apparently, Donald Trump is thankful for Donald Trump.
For having a great family and for having made a tremendous difference in this country. I've made a tremendous difference in the country. This country is so much stronger now than it was when I took office that you wouldn't believe it.
Amanda, unbelievable.
He's right.
Christy?
Oh, my God. The staggering lack of self-awareness and just the staggering ego that it takes to answer a question like that in that manner.
I would like to mention another American. Yesterday, Blue Jays pitcher Marcus Stroman tweeted out that he was thankful for Canada.
All right. That's lovely. The hat on top of America.
So maybe I am a weird person, but I did not interpret this as him being thankful for himself. I kind of interpreted that he being thankful he's had the opportunity or thankful he's had made a difference in America, which I didn't perceive as being outrageously terrible. I know it's like very fun to make fun of the president, but I actually thought of all the insane things he said this week, this is one of the least.
Okay, now
ridiculous.
But now that you've listened to it again, what do you think?
I mean, I still kind of think he's a bit. Obviously, like, I'm thankful I've done this, but if I were, you're the president of the United States. You have had a tremendous impact on the country, whether it's positive or negative in people's perceptions.
Wouldn't you leave that to somebody else?
Obviously not.
Never.
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 No.
Okay.
So,
well, who else
Christy
is going to do
Blatchford loves
it?
Christy Blatchford.
I hear you. I hear you.
This is where I guess I get to take a pulse of whether or not anybody outside of the world of golf could care less. Is there anybody on the panel who's, no, Amanda's like, no way. I haven't said what it is. The Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods. Playoff today, which is going to be done for non-golfers. I mean, it's just going to be goofy and silly, and they're going to be giving money to charity. There's going to be drones flying
overhead. Do you really think
non-golfers
are really paying attention to this?
I've heard about it because I was offered to go in like a pool, and I was like, what is this and what am I betting on? But if they legitimately are like because apparently this was supposed to be mic'd up during the entire thing.
Just like curling.
If they are awkwardly trash talking while walking between like holes for golf, I find kind of funny. So, but other than that, no, I will not.
You can come over to my place. I already paid for it.
Do you have booze? And then I will come watch it with you.
You have to ask that question?
Yeah.
How much did it cost?
$19.99 US.
Okay, because
that's a bargain.
I'm interested in the event, but I'm not interested enough to pay. I've got some other stuff I want to watch.
Well, you can come over to my house, too.
What time?
Well, actually,
I have to watch Michigan play Ohio State.
You know what I'm interested in? I'd like to come too, but I don't want to hear them talking. I'd rather just watch a good game of golf, which is, I think, what you'll get. I don't want to hear two guys in those horrid golf clothes pretending to trash talk. I mean, good.
Yeah, two dress rather well, actually.
It is going to be kind of contrived. If they trash talk each other, it'll be like back in the day when Dad came into the rumpus room and said, "Hey, kids, what's going on?" All right, that's our time. Thank you, everybody.
Catch the round table. Round one at 7:45. Round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. In-depth radio. News Talk 1010.